Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see everyone out tonight. I was happy this morning to see so many visitors, and I failed to mention I was happy to have my parents and niece with us also visiting, and we're going to have a good week, and we look forward to the next one before they head back to Washington State. As promised, last Sunday night, I told you we'd be looking tonight at gender, the idea of gender confusion. It's not a pleasant topic, but it's the world we live in. In fact, I told Becky I'm working on a sermon right now with that title, The World We Live In. And it's what it is, and so we need to talk about it. It's all around us. And hopefully tonight as we go through this, we're going to see that the first the lesson or the text we're going to start with is Genesis 1 and verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. From Genesis 1, 27. That serves as our text tonight. And the title is, God created them male and female. And then you'll notice in smaller print, I have in parentheses, or the Emperor's New Clothes, a cautionary tale on gender confusion. We're going to kind of look at this in a framework of the story of the Emperor's New Clothes. But as we take a look there at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, God tells us very plainly that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, we read that he made mankind in his image, male and female, he made them. Mark 10 and verse 6, as well as Matthew 19, 4, tell from Jesus himself, says it's been this way from the beginning. In Mark 10, 6, Jesus adds, from the beginning of creation, it has been this way. And who would have thought that we would ever have to tell people that there's only two genders? Even the people who say that they only believe in science instead of God have now made science in their own image to fit their own agenda, their own beliefs, because that really is what it is. And they tell you it's their own beliefs. Now there's people out there trying to tell us that it's science, but even scientists say that's not true. Science and the world around us has always understood there to be two genders, male and female. In fact, God gives clarity. We need to understand where it's coming from. Sin brings darkness. God's word brings clarity into our lives. Sin brings darkness. John 3, 19 to 20, Jesus said, those that hate the light are those that dwell in the darkness. And they don't want to come into the light because the light's going to expose their wicked and evil deeds. And so they're going to remain in the dark. It's always been that way. Selfish, stubborn people question God and his word. We're reading Psalm 28. Or maybe it's 128. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This has an impact on morals. In the world that we live in, the world around us, as darkness seems to be creeping in from every side and every corner of our lives, it impacts everything from fornication, adultery, incest, polygamy, and homosexual sin. Sexual immorality is all around us. It's promoted, it's applauded, it's celebrated. It's not something that was once done in secret. It's now in the streets, and people applaud it. Darkness, as Jesus says in John 3, 19 to 20, has fallen on gender identity and the roles and continues to do so. You might say, why are we talking about this? Why is there a need? If you would have asked me that 6 years ago, I would have said this is what we all understand it to be. But 2014 kind of changed all of that. 2014, 5 years ago, many things started being pushed and approved of, and laws were being changed. Practices among businesses and schools were being changed, so that now, 5 years later, many of those changes have become law. And now we need to talk about it. The British Children's Commission surveyed children ages 13 to 18. It's called the British Children's Commission. And as any lesson I do such as this, there is a very long source page that anyone that would like to see that, it's on the website already on the outline, and I have a hard copy tonight of anyone that wants to take that home. You can look and read these reports in their entirety. But the British Children's Commission surveyed children ages 13 to 18, and they offered 25 gender identities, such as gender fluid, demigirl, and trigender, and a host of many others. This was from a study done back in 2016. ABC News reported February 13, 2014. Here is their title of their article. Here is a list of 58 gender options for Facebook users. This was as reported by ABC News. What they're talking about is gender based on feelings, not on science, not on biology, and not on God's Word. What they're presenting is gender based on feelings. And in 2014, we saw the big battles over who used what restroom. And that seemed, in many cases, that was being waged all across the country. We thought in Alaska, this craziness isn't going to hit us. Well, 2016, about 2 years later, and we started seeing some of these same strange signs. Many of these signs are adorning bathrooms across the nation. An all-gender one, whichever, whatever, all-gender restroom. This isn't just talking about a single occupancy restroom, but a multiple occupancy restroom. Again, darkness has fallen on gender identity and roles and continues to do so. That even new bathroom signs were reflecting this gender confusion. And it's gender confusion, not that the information isn't out there, not that they've already all known it, but feelings. Because feelings. Gender identity and use of bathrooms have been in the limelight and caused many problems, this going back to 2014. States, businesses, and schools have caused dangerous outcomes with their changing policies regarding these things, regarding our children. Because if they can teach the children that it's normal, this is common, this is just acceptable, they're going to grow up into adults who are not going to know any better. They're not going to see it in any different way. And so they know what they're doing when they target the schools. But it's not just about bathrooms anymore, is it? 5 years down the road, there are many of us who said in 2014, look at where this is going to lead to. And those proponents said, no, 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 this is just about bathrooms. It's just about people who want to use the bathroom of their choice of how they feel. And those of us crying out, the emperor's not wearing any clothes, were looked as the crazy people. Right? We said, look at where this is going to lead. There's a road and you're on it and it's dangerous. And they said, no, no, no. This isn't going to be dangerous. Multiple stories of abuse and arrests have resulted from this gender confusion. On that source page, just from one page alone, going back to 2016, lists 20 different arrests just at Target alone. Not mentioning any of the other restaurants, stores, and things. Just a link to 20 different arrests that happened in 2016 because of all of this. And there's many other sources like that on the source page that link tragic and terrible stories of things that happened because of this going back to 2014. But 2014 was 5 years ago. And they went barreling down that road, regardless of the danger signs and the red flags all around them. And so now where we are is this. Governor Jerry Brown of California, October 2017, signed into a law allowing birth certificates to reflect the individual's gender feeling, as well as let the doctors wait to identify the baby's gender, becoming the first state to allow gender-neutral birth certificates. This was signed into law in October 2017. But is California alone? No. They pioneered it. They were the first. Many states also allow gender-neutral driver's licenses. In California, as many as New Jersey and New York, all claim, this is their claim to fame, we're gender inclusive. We issue gender neutral driver's licenses. As of February 2019, 11 states allow gender neutral birth certificates. What many of these states are doing, and what I didn't say there in the write-up, this is what he signed, was with the doctor. Many of them say that they can. There's a certain age that they now allow the child to grow up to, and they can fill out their own birth certificate. And in many places, this is going to be some ceremony, some rite of passage for that child when they finally declare what gender they feel like. Can you imagine the sadness of this reality? Is that it's all feelings based. It's not on science. 100 years from now, 200 years, let's go forward in time 300 years from now. An archaeologist is digging up a site and they find bones and they get all excited. It's a full skeleton. Do you think that archaeologist is going to match those bones to any known record and say, look, it's a non-binary? They're going to match those bones and say, this is male or female. We know that. We understand that. And yet there are those people today who say, I feel I'm something that God did not make me. And when they say that, they're calling God a liar. They're saying God made a mistake. But it's not all about birth certificates. It's not about bathrooms. This goes further and impacts real people. male athletes dominating all girls' sports. First time I reported on this was back in 2017, living in Alaska. This was big news. Alaska's girls' track all-state honors is a boy. That was the headline news coming out of Fairbanks, Alaska. A Thailand teen boy identified as a girl got permission to run in the all-Alaska girls' track meet. And originally, athletes and parents were mostly supportive, according to the Anchorage School District. Emma Daniels raced against the boy and told a local CBS station, and this is a quote from that young girl as reported from the Anchorage School District. She says, "I'm glad that this person is comfortable with who they are and they're able to be happy in who they are. But I don't think it's competitively, completely, 100% fair." You know, she was lambasted in the news. She was vilified for saying such things. But she's saying the right thing. She's saying, "I'm really impacted by this person's choice and feelings," and parents looking the other way and saying, "Let's let this boy run as a girl in an all-girls state competition." Same thing happening now in Connecticut's girl schools. There's a YouTube video out. Girls speaking out against two male athletes who are referred to in the video as transgendered girls, and they're always taking the top two spots in competition. They're being silenced and vilified, and these girls that are speaking out from the school are worried they're going to run in the state competition coming up and will take it, because already in all the other meets they're taking the top two spots. 6 years ago we would have called this craziness. We would have said this would not happen in the world in which we live. Watching all this play out with no heed for the consequences. Seeing businesses, the government, our government leaders, schools all join in on the politically correct bandwagon, lest they offend. It feels like a real-life procession of the emperor's new clothes. I don't know about you, but that's all I can think about when I think of that. The same people in that story, the only sane person is the child at the end who ruins the charade. And then finally others start agreeing with that little child. I'm not going to go through and read it. I printed off a copy if anyone wants to read Hans Christian Andersen's The Emperor's New Clothes, as written in 1837. I do have a copy of it with me. You can read that. It's also attached to the outline on the power or on the website. You can download that. But I'm just going to give you the highlights for those who may not remember it, for those young people who may not have studied it yet. What Hans Christian Andersen wrote about was a vain emperor who cares about nothing except wearing and displaying clothes, hires two weavers who promise him the finest, best suit of clothes from a fabric invisible to anyone who is unfit for his position or, quote-unquote, hopelessly stupid. The ministers do not want to be hopelessly stupid. They don't want to be considered unfit for their jobs, their positions. They can't see what these weavers are selling, but because of that, they go with it. And they ooh and they aw. Well, the emperor, he doesn't want to be unfit for his position. He doesn't want to be hopelessly stupid, so he goes along with it too. Finally, the weavers report the suit is finished. They mime dressing him, and the emperor marches in procession before his subjects. The townsfolk play along with the pretense, for none of them want to appear before the emperor as hopelessly stupid or unfit for their positions. Until a child in the crowd, too young to understand the political motivations, he blurts out that the emperor is wearing nothing at all, and soon the cry is taken up by everyone else. But it took the innocent eyes of a child to say what everyone else knew but were unwilling to say or to recognize. The emperor suspects the assertion is true, Hans Christian Andersen tells us, but continues the procession. He doesn't call it off. He keeps on going. This phrase, emperor's new clothes, has become something of an idiom over time. It's an idiom for anything that is widely accepted as true or professed as being praiseworthy due to an unwillingness of the general population to criticize it or be seen as going against popular opinion. Have any of you in your life seen or done something in the workplace or at school where this came to mind, where you used this or someone said it of you? It's the emperor's new clothes. Something is untrue, but everyone's buying it. And everyone knows that it's not real, but it's the popular thing to do. It's the popular opinion. The politically correct world continues to watch and praise the emperor's new clothes, rather than tell the truth to people who have been allowed to be confused over who they are. Of all the things to be confused over in this world, there are people genuinely confused whether they are male or female. And as ABC reported going back to 2014, 58 different gender options that they're given. When Jesus himself said from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So it seems like it's not something we ought to talk about. It seems like it's just cut and dry. It's out in the open. But think of throughout time how many products have had to put warning labels on things that you would just expect everyone to know. They have to put on a hot iron, do not touch, it's hot. They have to put on your toothpaste, do not swallow. And if you do, call the CDC, call poison control, right? So many products that we could go through a funny list of all the different times they've had to warn us not to be stupid, not to be hopelessly stupid, right? Because somebody, somewhere did it, and the company doesn't want to be liable for it. But these are things that are just accepted. We know them to be true, and it seems like gender ought to be one of those. But there are people. Because of what they're taught, their parents allow, their teachers allow, the people they ought to look up to, who guide them, are telling them, there are people who don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. We went into a store recently. Drayson and I walked into a store recently, and there was very obviously a guy behind the counter. But as we got up close to make our purchase, his name tag said, my pronouns are she and hers. I wanted to tell that poor soul, you are a male. You are a man. You are a sir, not a ma'am. And I would not use that. I went into a gas station one time and said, thank you, sir, as I walked away, and he corrected me and said, no, it's ma'am. And I said, I'm afraid not. You are a sir. You'd think that I had stabbed him in the back, and I didn't want to offend. And I said it just that way. I don't want to be flippant. I don't want to insult them. I don't want to make fun of them. But someone needs to tell them the emperor's got no clothes on. You are a woman. You are a sir. You are a man. God made gender with a purpose. Genesis 1-2 explains gender identity and roles. In Genesis 1:20-31, gender roles perpetuate life. Male and female, the perfect plan perpetuates life. Genesis 1:27-28, verse 31. No confusion. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. Male, female. Biology matters. Again, years from now, archaeologists aren't going to find bones and say, look, it's a non-binary. It's a trigender. They're not going to have a feelings-based role to tell them what those bones represent. They're going to have those bones representing what God created, a male or female. In Genesis 2:18-25, unique genders for unique companionship, marriage. Genesis 9:7, as Noah stepped off the ark with his family and God gives them a new commandment, something that they were tasked to do. He says, as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. Male designed to lead and to provide. Genesis 3:17-19. Reiterated again, 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. Or the King James says, infidel. The female, the woman is designed to support as a caregiver and mother. Titus chapter 2:4-5 says she guides or rules the house. Not male and animal. Genesis 2:19-20, this was the point with Adam. He was given God's creation to name because God wanted to see what he would name it. But it served another purpose. It allowed Adam to see there was nothing on that God had created like him. And God says, God's point was, because I'm going to make a helper suitable for you. He saw everyone else had a mate, had a companion. And Adam saw he was all alone. God says, I've got something special in mind for you. Not male and male. Genesis 2:20. That companionship, that woman that was made from Adam's rib, was made as that suitable helper just for him. Genesis 2:24. Genesis 3:16. The Israelites were not allowed. Leviticus 18:23. In fact, they were given the punishment was death for these actions. Not female and female. Leviticus 18:22, chapter 20, verse 13. Death. Romans 1:18-32, it's against God's laws for all men. It's called error. It's called vile. It's called unnatural. God says it's worthy of death, as are those, verse 32, who condone it. God created male and female for each other. And he created them for a purpose, to multiply the earth. Defying gender roles defies God's purpose. You know, Eve defied God and led Adam to sin. She took the role of a leader. She helped herself to the fruit off that forbidden tree. She took it to Adam and he took it. Did both of them know better? Yeah, absolutely. Adam knew it. Eve quotes it back to Satan. And yet, they both partook of that fruit. Genesis 3, 14 to 19, God punished them and emphasized their proper roles. Adam was to be the leader. He was to work. Only by the sweat of his brow would they eat bread. And she was to be his wife and mother. And it says, your desire will be for your husband or toward your husband. God emphasized their proper relationship to each other as he sent them out of the garden. Sodom and Gomorrah defied God. Genesis 19:5 talks about how they burned with homosexual lust. Jude 7 describes that event as indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. Genesis 19:24-25, we're told God's wrath burned. 2 Peter 2:6, in referencing that example, Peter says, they became an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. That fire and brimstone that shot out of heaven and engulfed those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, never to be rebuilt or seen or heard from again. Peter says that serves as an example of those who would live ungodly thereafter. Sodom and Gomorrah still stands as a testament to God's wrath, that he means what he says. That's the point of 2 Peter chapter 2. As you read through the beginning of that to the end, Peter's making the point, God means what he says. So that chapter 3, when he says he's coming again in fire and flames, he says, what sort of people ought you to be in holy and godly conduct? The law of Moses warned the Israelites against defying God. Leviticus 18:22-27. The Jews were warned of pagan sins and were told to avoid them. As you look in secular history about some of the things the Amorite worshipped, the Canaanite that were in the land, when God told Abraham, now is not the time, the wickedness of the Amorite is not yet complete. But he tells Moses, now it's time to fulfill that promise to Abraham. What were the Amorites into? There was a Sumerian or Canaanite goddess, Ninurseg, who created humans with bisexual or asexual anatomy. And she reflected rampant sexual perversion of sexual identity and roles. So what we're seeing today is not new under the sun. This was going on in Canaan when the Israelites were to conquer them and to destroy them, to not live among them so that influence wouldn't come about them. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, God even forbids the pagan cross-dressing sins. And he says of that sin, it's an abomination to God for a woman to play the part of a man, for a man to pretend he's a woman. The New Testament issues similar warnings. I've been making references here. Here's where we're going to start some reading. In Romans chapter 1, 26-27 and verse 32, it says, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. We need to be careful about what we condone. Here he's talking about individuals who know what God has said. God hasn't hidden it. He hasn't made it a mystery. People can pick up his book and both see in Old Testament and in New Testament what he requires of his people. What he says is an abomination. What he says is right. But he says, though they know the ordinance of God, verse 32, those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, this is what we looked at last time. The unrighteous include the homosexuals and sodomites and the effeminate. 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Talked about that. That's sex outside of marriage. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That's sex with anyone other than your spouse. Nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Unrighteous, the homosexuals are in that list. That's from a Greek word that means sodomites. Unrighteous equate to the effeminate, That means soft or catamite. This is usually a male that, well, I'm not going to go into it. It means soft, soft to the touch. Usually the male that dresses or acts like the woman. If you want to know what Paul, this graphic term that Paul uses in the Greek, look up or Google catamite. Just not right now. On your own. But the unrighteous include these individuals. People that want to appear as something that they are not, for a function that they are not designed and created for. But the good news is, in 1 Corinthians 6:11, they can change. That's why we're studying something like this. That's why we're talking about it. We want those people to be saved. We want them to no longer be confused about who they are. We're not going to do that by making fun of them or insulting them. We're going to do that by telling them that they have a God, there is a Creator, who made them for a specific role, who made them for a specific function in life, that there is no mystery, there is no confusion. God's Word brings that clarity and cuts right through the confusion. And they can change. Whether they were committing any of these sexual immorality practices, they can change. 1 Corinthians 6:11, as we talked about last week, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. This tells us that whoever is on this list, they were not born that way. God did not make a mistake. They were not born this way. These are practices that you can engage in. They're practices that will keep you from heaven. You can change from this sin, as any other sin on this list, all the way going into verse 10, as we looked at in detail last Sunday night. We need to see that God's word on gender has been consistent in any time period. He told the Israelites what they needed to know to follow His word. He's told saints what we need to do to get through the confusion in the society and the world around us who rejects God. Gender perversion is moral perversion. Men will defy the truth about God. In Psalm 14:1, it says, "For the choir director, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." I was wrong about both of the ones I said earlier. I said Psalm 28 or 128. Psalm 14:1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good." This was true of David's day. It was true of the days before him and the days of the judges when everyone did what was right in their own sight. It was true of those before the days of the judges when we look in the time period of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was true in the days of Noah when every man's thought was only evil continually before God. And it's true today. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And what comes next is corruptness and wicked and abominable, an abomination before God. Abominable acts. Titus 1:16 says, "They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." Does he not say what David said? There's no one who does good. Paul, writing to Titus, says they're disobedient, worthless for any good deed. They're detestable. Men defy the truth about God. Hardened sinners will deny God. Some profess, but will disobey God. And we certainly see that in the religious world today. They profess to believe in God, but they are not. This image was an image that came about when New York went to gender-neutral birth certificates. And this image was the official New York celebrating gender-neutral birth certificates, where rather than male or female, they could click the X button and fill in the blank later on. Mankind today claim God made them deviant and that He accepts it. This is the lie of pseudoscience. Mayor Pete, as we looked at last week, saying his creator made him homosexual. And on April 8th of this year, Mayor Pete, who's running for president of the United States, he said to Mike Pence, the current vice president, "Your quarrel, sir, is not with me, but with my creator." And we looked last Sunday night about what his creator said about his abominable acts. It will keep him from heaven, no matter what Christianity he professes to believe in. God does not make men alcoholics. God does not make men adulterers or sexual deviants. They choose to sin. James chapter 1, 13 to 15 tells us it is a choice. We lust, that means a strong desire. We lust, we give in to lust, we commit sin. Sin brings forth death. Spiritual LSD, lust, sin, death. God does not make mistakes with gender either. Some say it's a woman's brain and a man's body. or vice versa. Have you heard that phrase? They'll often say, I heard this. This goes back beyond 2014. They'll say this, I was a woman born in a man's body, or I was a man born in a woman's body. And what they're saying is, God made a mistake with me. We knew someone that was worked in a home healthcare company, and one of the clients that we service with Oxygen, that I went to their house, it was actually his house. He had a someone that the staff referred to as an it because it was difficult to tell who or what it was. But the man was our client, but he wanted us to refer to him as a he or a she, or I'm sorry, a she or her or whatever. And so my drivers were uncomfortable going there, so I went one time. And he said the same thing. I was a woman, or I had a woman's brain in a man's body. And you know, I had a job there to do, and my job wasn't to preach to him, but I couldn't help but tell him, God didn't make a mistake with you. And left it at that. But there are birth defects. And it's very difficult to talk about this with anybody without someone bringing up hermaphrodite. Nowadays, that phrase is not mainstream. It's called intersex, but it's becoming the main term among medical professionals is intersex. In April 2015, Malta became the first country to outlaw non-consensual surgery to modify the gender or sex of a baby. This, too, causes gender confusion. This always comes up when talking about whether homosexuals are born that way. You start telling someone that they're not born that way, and they say, well, what about the hermaphrodite? Well, it's very rare. And because of the controversy surrounding it, as you do research, it's very tough to nail down an exact number of how rare it is. But I did find some studies that coincided with each other that said it was 1.7% of births. 1.7% of births have this mutation, this rare imbalance. In times past, it's been solved by surgery and counseling. It has worked in times past. Some people are now suing parents or doctors over that surgery at birth because they want to claim the gender that was cut away. And they call it non-consensual surgery. There's such thing as emotional imbalance. There is such a thing. There are people who suffer from gender dysphoria or gender identity disorder. They identify oneself with the sex opposite to their birth and anatomy, and it's been called a disorder. But 2014, again, changed that. They started rewriting the medical journals. They started rewriting their practices and how they deal with individuals such as that. And in times past, it was solved by counseling. And it has worked in times past. But today, now, there could be a lawsuit if you tell someone, let's help you. Let's help you through this. Let's help you figure this out. Because men pervert the truth about love. 1 John 5:2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. We're to obey God, to love Him and men. In order to love one another, we must first love God in order to love one another properly. Society today claims the freedom to love anyone, and as we're going to see, anything. We all understand that we can love someone as a friend. We can have all kinds of friends. It's not the same as that sexual love in marriage. It's not that same oneness that God talks about, or Jesus talks about in Matthew 19 or Mark 10. Of the husband, the male and female, they become husband and wife, cleave to one another, and become one flesh. Hebrews 13:4, Matthew 19, 4-5 are passages that speak about the marriage bed being an honor among all people, undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Matthew 19, 4-5 says adultery or sexual immorality is what someone can divorce their mate and remarry another. We understand that having friends is not the same as that relationship that we have with one another. But society around us is telling us that you can love animals. There's even a perversion to marry them. We can have friends. We can love our animals. We have cats. We have dogs. I've had dogs nearly my whole life. We have a dog currently. We can love animals. But it is a perversion to marry them, like this woman, Barbarella Buckner. Reported back in 2015, she married two cats in 2004, and this is not a Photoshop. This is a copy that she's proudly displaying her marriage license to these two cats, Spider and Lugosi. Somewhere, someone failed this woman. Didn't tell her her role, her God-given role in life. We can love bridges. I'm only using that specifically because of this. We can love bridges. We can love things. I love seeing the ruins. I love seeing old buildings being restored. We've been walking the streets of historical things this past week with my parents. I love taking them to Yorktown, to Jamestown, to Williamsburg, and show them these buildings, especially Williamsburg, where the Rockefellers spent lots and lots of money to recreate the city of Williamsburg. You can go and walk those streets, and it's amazing. 88 original buildings to that city. It's great. I love that. But the world has perverted it in allowing people to marry a bridge. Jody Rose from Australia, back in 2013. She doesn't fall in love with a bridge in Australia. She falls in love with a bridge in France, and the French government gave her permission and printed out this very nice certificate of marriage she's holding to marry this bridge. Someone didn't tell her her God-given role in life. What function is that coin to serve? And it's hard not to have that reaction to laugh. But again, we don't want to insult these people. We don't want to offend them. I don't mean to throw it up there as comic relief, but to show you what is happening in our world when men pervert the God-given roles of men and women. Someone, somewhere, failed these people. Or maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they told them what they needed to know. And out of desiring that darkness that Jesus talks about in John 3, they refused to see it and they went ahead with this craziness. Rather than help the confused, the world stands by applauding the delusional. Just as in Anderson's The Emperor's New Clothes, they scoff at those who cry, "It's not real. It's not really there." And all of a sudden, we're the bad guys for pointing out what everyone already knows, but they're unwilling to accept it anymore. Until 2014, this was science. And now the science books are being rewritten based on feeling. In 2015, when the Supreme Court struck down DOMA, and they made a ruling, and again, they should never even be making a ruling, they make an opinion, and in their official opinion, they ruled on something that's going to create further chaos for the future courts to have to define. That love is based on feelings. And that's what's happening today. They created chaos for not defining what they meant when they said based on feelings. It's going to take future courts to have to then define what they were meaning. And it's already taking place. But I want us to not end on such a grim note. To talk about the world that we live in. We all know this. We see this. We read the news. It's hard not to be drawn in by these articles. And by the time I put this lesson together a few weeks ago, it's already obsolete in a lot of the information I have. I read just this past week, just a couple days ago, some things that are like, oh, if only I could have put that in the lesson. You know, that's going to happen anytime you talk about something like this. Because it's current, it's ongoing. But we don't need to discuss all of those things. Because what we need to talk about is the gospel reinforces true gender roles. What is the solution to confusion? The gospel. What it has always been. God's word. Christ offers salvation to all people. Galatians 3, 26 to 28. One Savior and gospel for all. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 tells us we are to be manly saints. We're to be firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Firm in our faith. One Savior. And one gospel for all. Gender roles serve God's purpose in the home. In Matthew 19, 4 through 6, Jesus said, from the beginning, God joins one man to one woman in marriage. In Ephesians 5, 22 to 23, here Paul writing to the Ephesians. In verse 32, he says it's a mystery. But he tells them what that mystery is. He says he's speaking about Jesus and the church. But he uses something physical so that we can understand it easily. He takes the marriage relationship that they would all have seen in their parents or in their own homes, their husbands, their wives. He takes something they would all know and he uses that to establish the role of the church in Jesus. And in this passage, especially verses 22 to 23, the husband leads, the wife submits. And because of this, Ephesians 6, 4, Titus 2, 4, the children are blessed. This is the way he designed it. Gender roles serve God's purpose in the church. 1 Timothy 2, 8-15, men lead in the work and worship of the church. Women serve God in other ways. Romans 16:1 tells us Phoebe was a servant of the church. There are those that, because of a translation calling servant a deaconess in that passage, they try to make deaconesses when there are no qualifications throughout God's inspired word on deaconesses, but we find a deaconess to be the husband of one wife. So there are no deaconesses. Phoebe was not a deaconess. What we can't take away from her is it says she was a servant of the church. What did that mean? Paul doesn't elaborate. We don't know. But we can look around today and see how our women serve in such various capacities, in so many different ways that benefit and bless the congregation as a whole. Maybe she was doing some of the same. 1 Timothy 3, 1-5. Men lead as elders, supported by godly wives. Not only are there no female elders, there's no such thing as a single elder or a bachelor elder. They had to have been the husband of one wife. Right? Behind every good man, there's an even better woman. Behind an elder, there's a godly woman. 1 Timothy 3, 11-12. Men serve as deacons. Again, supported by godly wives. Not single men. Men with a godly wife. No deaconesses. No female elders. No female deacons. God offers clarity on gender and gender roles in His Word. God's Word doesn't cause confusion. God provides it in very clear, concise ways. This is a picture depicted from a children's rendition of The Emperor's New Clothes. And at one of the very last panels, I scanned it and saved it. Because it shows this picture of him going down. I was glad it was a little bit decent. It says, some of the people were laughing. Look at that, a young boy shouted. The emperor is naked. Sometimes it seems like that's what we have to yell in today's society. You're a male. You're a female. This is something they should have learned in school. This is something they should have learned before school from their parents. And yet, from the parents to the school to the government leaders, they're deceiving them. They're allowing this confusion, this delusion to take place. And someone has to stand in the breach. Someone has to stand in the breach and say, it's not real. Will that be you? Will that be me? We can't just go along with it. And it's going to cause problems. It might even cause an unpleasant encounter with someone. You need to be willing to have that encounter. But you need to remember why we study something like this. It's not to poke fun. Because we love them. What you say needs to be done from love. Ephesians 4:15, I want you to remember that. As you encounter individuals in life, and they're getting more and more, you're going to see them in public places, as restaurants. You're going to see them behind the counter as employees at some of your favorite places. We might even see them as government workers. This is going to happen. We need to remember Ephesians 4:15. And I'd like you to turn there with me as we close. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Verse 14, as a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Here's what I want you to remember. We're not children carried away by every new thing that comes under the sun. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Wherever we go, we carry Christ. We reflect Him. And it needs to be reflected. Even when we correct error, even when we correct opposition, we need to be speaking the truth in love. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we're going to close with where we began. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 26, He said, let us make man in our image. And so we read verse 27, God created man in His own image. An image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 6, this was from the beginning of creation. From the beginning, it's been this way. It has been the standard. It has been accepted. But darkness falls on gender identity and roles and causes confusion. God's Word is that solution. The remedy for confusion is what it has always been. Preach the gospel. Do it in love. And out of concern for that individual's soul. Preach the gospel of light to the darkness. We're going to close with 2 Corinthians 4, 5-6. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 tells us, into our hands the gospel is given. It's entrusted to us. But I want us to read 2 Corinthians 4, 5-6. As we leave this building, we need to remember we are lights and we reflect the light of Jesus Christ. We are His reflection as we go into the dark world. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Light shall shine out of darkness. What he's saying in this passage is that is how the gospel is spread. Into our hands the gospel is given, and through those hands we share the gospel. We spread that light into the dark world around us. And as Dick has talked about in our Wednesday night class, we need to be ready to convert one soul at a time. And the remedy for confusion is to obey the gospel and begin a new life in Christ with moral clarity. Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, as we looked at this morning, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." He will wash away all sin. He will wash away the sin of gender confusion. He will wash away the sins that we can read there in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10. He will reaffirm your purpose as a man or a woman, as you find your godly purpose and role in the church and in the home. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to be. To repent and be baptized, rising from the waters, a new creature in Christ, walking in newness of life. And if tonight you are a Christian in error, now is the time for correction. Now is the time to remove that barrier between you and God. And you can do so this very moment, this very hour, whether it's the waters of the baptism, the prayers of the congregation on your behalf, that you might seek repentance and forgiveness. If you're subject to invitation in any way, come forward, let it be known while together we stand and sing. Oh.